You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. We're recording this January 29th, Monday evening, and Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going. We were just talking about before the podcast how now that football season's over with all things that happened, it seems like it doesn't seem that long ago that we did a podcast, but when you look at all the news around Notre Dame, just like Jeff Quinn getting hired, that's happened since the podcast last Monday night. And that seems like ages ago.
It does. Been a busy winter for Notre Dame fans. But I guess we're going to talk about Jeff Quinn and there's some recruiting news. Randall, you want to talk about some just general Notre Dame interesting news that happened on social media that we'll discuss as well. But I guess let's start with Jeff Quinn. Initially, we talked about he was going to interview, but we didn't think that he was really in consideration. Didn't expect him to get hired, and lo and behold, he's the guy that Brian Kelly decides to go with. Initial reactions, of course, were all negative.
Yeah.
And then it seems after a few days, people kind of settled down and try to find the positive spin. And I think most people found the positive spin. For me, yeah, this is not who I wanted, but either way, the offensive line is going to take a step back.
Yeah, and it's going to look bad for him.
It is. It's going to be, and he's going to get a lot of that criticism, even though regardless who was hired, I expected the offensive line to take a step back. But I don't think the criticism of him is that fair, because even if his last stop wasn't great, if it was a bad stop, kind of like Harry at Tennessee, and coaches can get better and often do get better. Sometimes they don't. Brian Van Gorder was a guy who had success early, came to Notre Dame, and it did not work out. I guess he's now the defensive coordinator in Louisville. And who knows? Maybe he'll have a good defense there. Maybe he learned enough at the Notre Dame job to be a better defensive coordinator at the college level today than he was, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and kind of I'll just throw it in with Brian Van Gorder going to Louisville. Notre Dame plays them. I think it's the opening game in 2019, September 2nd.
I hope he's still there.
Oh, he has to be. I was joking about it on our forums that. What are the odds that he's still there after a year? But it's a year of football. Louisville's standards of defense aren't that high. And he looked really good when he started at Notre Dame. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I'm sure Notre Dame's offense will look great to start the year, and everybody will be talking how great the offense is until they meet. I mean, I didn't check who they're playing the next week, but they might get kind of blown out of proportion in that game. But back to Jeff Quinn, I'm trying to figure out, why everybody was just negative about it. They just were. I mean, we didn't expect him to be hired.
Well, I think partly because people really liked, they liked the other candidates that were options.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And something that is interesting, both of the coaches that were hired this cycle were internal hires. I know Clark Lee had only been there for a year.
Well, you got Terry Joseph.
That's true. You're right. I did forget.
But yeah, the other two guys.
Two out of the three, whereas the previous time, I mean, they were all from the outside.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Jeff Quinn isn't going anywhere. He's been with Brian Kelly for a long time. But I think some of the negativity around it might be it's not an exciting hire. It's just promoting someone from within. And Jeff Quinn has been at Notre Dame for a couple years now, but was an analyst, we talked about last year, could he be the tight ends coach? We thought maybe he'd get another coaching job, position coach, but he never did. And one of the biggest things is the style of offense he ran at Cincinnati.
Criticisms,
yeah.
You mean.
But he's been with Brian Kelly for 24 seasons. So, and they had a lot of success at Grand Valley State and Central Michigan and Cincinnati and now at Notre Dame. But it's a different type of offense. But here's my thing. Brian Kelly obviously changed his philosophy. I guess the thing most the biggest thing about this hire is where they still run the ball. Can this offensive line still do the things they need to do to have success running the ball?
And that's not going to come down to Jeff Quinn. That's going to, it starts with Brian Kelly, and then a big part of that is going to be Chip Long.
And from what exactly what I've been hearing is that Chip Long is very involved with this in the with the offensive line, even with Harry Heaston. And so Jeff Quinn is going to do what Chip Long tells him to do. And Chip Long runs the ball. We've seen that last year. So I think even with Harry Heaston, he helped set up Jeff Quinn to, you know, have success running the ball. Keep going what Harry Heaston had.
I agree. And kind of the example of where there was opportunity for and it didn't work out is Bob Diaco. Notre Dame had a solid defense.
And they were going
to
the next.
They had a good foundation, and Brian Kelly sold Brian Van Gorder as taking it to the next level. Well, they totally changed the defense they had, and it ended up flopping.
Yeah.
Now, I do think it's important that Jeff Quinn keep on building on what Harry Heaston has built with the players that he recruited. And I think there's only time will tell, but I'll be looking at our players getting better. I mean, remember, players were so critical of Mike McGlinchey, who graded out as the top left tackle in the country. And we had the number one offensive guard as well. And people were still critical of the offensive line. So the offensive line is not going to be as good next year, but that isn't necessarily Jeff Quinn's fault. It'll take some time to see if this is a good hire. It'll take time to be able to look back and see if this was a good hire.
Yeah, well, here are just some numbers. Jeff Quinn's been coaching at the college level for 34 seasons. 26 of those were as the offensive line coach, so he knows his offensive line. 24 were with Brian Kelly, and in 2009, he was actually a finalist for the Broyles Award, Best Assistant Coaching, which sometimes that doesn't mean Brian Van Gorder was a winner of the Broyles Award.
Was that while he was at Cincinnati?
Georgia. Oh, you mean Jeff Quinn?
Jeff Quinn.
Yes, it was his last year at Cincinnati, and it was his last year coaching the offensive line. So he has a lot of success, and you know there's a question, you know, how is his recruiting going to be? But just today, him and Tommy Reese were out, and they offered a 2020 offensive lineman. So he's out on the recruiting trail, and so that's kind of the question, how good a recruiter is he? But Harry Heaston, he kind of picked out his guys, and that's who he went after. And maybe Harry could have done a little more with that. I mean, and looking at Harry, he had a good offensive line, but there was a lot of players there that didn't have success at Notre Dame either. Just this year, we had transfers before Harry Heaston left. You know, before there was rumors of leaving, you know, you have Tristan Hodge, Parker Boudreaux transferred a year ago, Steve Elmer quit early. You know, he had other interests, but if it really was such a great thing, he'd probably kept playing football too. You know, we talked a little bit about the Hunter Bivens situation. Remember in the spring, he supposedly didn't take as many reps so that the other guys could get reps, but that was weird because he wasn't a starter. So he should have been competing for starting reps, and he wasn't. So sometimes it seemed like Harry had his guys, and that's who he went with. So this kind of gives other guys a chance. I think this gives some of the other guys that were backups a chance to compete for the starting spots. Because before this, I think it was kind of set on who's going to be the offensive line next year. But I think this kind of opens it up a little bit.
I think it opens it up, but I don't think it's a bad thing that Harry had picked out his guys who were going to start. Because he knew him better than anyone.
I'm just saying, he did a good job, but there's also things that he wasn't as good at either.
Recruiting is, I think, the one area. But he did pull in.
Oh, he got guys in.
He had top quality guys.
Oh, I agree.
Maybe not as many.
I'm just saying, there's just look at everything. I mean, yeah, Harry Heaston is a phenomenal coach, but he was not an exciting hire when he came in. People weren't that excited about it. Other schools, you know, when he left Tennessee, people were glad to see him go. I mean, you're always going to have this. I think, you know, I waited a little bit because at first it was just kind of, oh, you know, this is not good. They need somebody. They need a big name coming in, but you know, they're saying he's great on attention to detail.
Okay.
So that's definitely what Brian Kelly's looking for, and it looks like he's got another coach on his staff that does pay attention to detail.
And maybe if Jeff Quinn hadn't been an analyst the last few years, if he had been an offensive line coach somewhere, this probably would have looked like a more of a splash or home run hire.
Yeah. I had sent out a tweet, just wanted to see what the listeners thought of the hire, because, you know, there was negativity. You know, Josh McClain mentioned that the place where he's been, they don't run the ball much when he was the O-line coach, and Notre Dame needs to be physical and run the ball. Don Parks mentioned that at Central Michigan and Cincinnati, the rushing attempts went down year one at each place. They had the most rushing attempts and yards, and they would descend each year with pass-happy Brian Kelly calling plays. Hopefully, as long as OC, this doesn't happen. But he also brought up the point that the other three candidates that were there would probably leave for upgrades next year. Quinn is going to stay around. I mean, well, with Brian Kelly.
How long has he been an analyst? Has it been more? Has it been 2 years?
I think it was three. Maybe it's just two. I'd have to double check. I wonder if this was the third year. He was there for two, and I think this might have been the third year. One guy said, great opportunity for him. Unfortunately, I don't think I've ever been excited about a coaching hire. I guess we'll see. So that's maybe a good approach to take. Just, hey, we'll wait and see. That was our rat. So,
air rat.
One guy said he's just concerned because Coach Brian Kelly is still the head coach. Anyways, there's just a lot of opinions out there about it. It seems like everybody's kind of cooled down about it, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens. So,
all right, probably the next hottest thing is recruiting. Notre Dame hosted Junior Day this past weekend. And so what are some of the headlines or news coming out of that?
Well, Junior Day has usually been pretty productive for Notre Dame. I think last year, three of the guys that visited ended up committing to Notre Dame. Like, it wasn't there at the on Junior Day or the weekend of. But so far, Notre Dame has one commitment coming out of that. KJ Wallace, cornerback from Georgia. He committed last night, Sunday night, and he just got an offer on the 16th. So he hasn't had the offer that long, but then he came up, visited, loved it, and obviously committed. He's 5'10", 165, and he's a four-star guy.
So a little light, but he could put on some weight.
He's small, but people are very impressed with him. I mean, this is a big-time pickup for Notre Dame, and it's coming out of Georgia. It seems Notre Dame's kind of moved from Florida over to Georgia and is recruiting a lot of players in Georgia. They haven't gotten that many out of Georgia until last year, and this year they've handed out a lot of offers. But Notre Dame finally added the third commit for 2019, and so maybe this will kind of start something and get it trending in the right direction, because the weekend was very successful. I mean, everybody was impressed, excited coming away from it, and has, you know, Notre Dame as their leader gave him a lot to think about. There was a whole list of guys. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but they had a lot of wide receivers there. Basically, for offense, it was wide receivers and tight ends. So Samson James was one running back that was there, and he did pick up an offer this weekend. He didn't have one, but he picked up an offer this weekend, and he's from Indiana. So I guess there's a good chance he'll end up at Notre Dame.
What area of Indiana? Is he close enough that we could go watch
him? I think he's down close to Indy.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's definitely a guy that would be fun to go watch. And then on defense, they had a bunch of guys come in. They had two guys that didn't have an offer, Javon Thrift and Keith McGuire. McGuire, I know, did get an offer. I'm not sure on Thrift yet, but if you've been following recruits, Notre Dame basically offered everybody the last week. They're up to over 100 offers in the 2019 class. I thought I'd mention it. We have in the past when the guys get offered, but it's pointless to do it. There were so many that went out last week. It would just bore people to tears, probably, not knowing who the guys are. And I'm sure if you're recruiting, we talk about it on the forum, so you can check it out there. But on the defensive side, they had a lot of defensive linemen there and defensive backs. So it was a great weekend. Notre Dame's excited about it. there were also three 2018 guys there that Notre Dame is still trying to get them to actually flip from the schools they're committed to. Sebo Flemster was obviously a guy we've talked about on the podcast, a running back that's committed to Georgia Tech. And Brian Kelly will still take an in-home visit with him sometime here before signing day, which is next week, by the way. So he was at Notre Dame. Another guy was defensive lineman Derek Eason, and he is currently committed to North Carolina State. Obviously, if they're North Carolina State after this year, if North Carolina State is recruiting him, we saw what a great defensive line they had. So they obviously have an eye for talent on the defensive line, but he's currently ranked. He's a three-star guy, but he is. I mean, he would be a big-time pickup for Notre Dame to add to the 2018 class. And then also they had a defensive back, DJ Brown. He's currently committed to Virginia, and he was teammates with Kofi Wardlow, current Notre Dame player, and he's actually still at Notre Dame. He got there on Sunday and is planning to stay till Tuesday. And then just a couple other guys. Lawrence Keyes, wide receiver that Notre Dame is still trying to get a commitment from. It seemed like Notre Dame was a leader, and then he visited Texas this weekend, and now he says the two schools are tied. So Notre Dame staff is visiting him today, and so they're trying to get a commitment out of him. We'll kind of have to see what happens there. And then another cornerback.
Is he waiting to commit until, I mean, when is he going to commit?
Well, he has to do it in the next week. I'm not sure if
he's going to wait until signing day. Or
initially, people thought that he might commit last week when he had been at Notre Dame, but that didn't happen. He took another visit, so now he's got something to think about. So it's hard to tell what he's planning to do. Noah Boykins, the cornerback target for 2018. Notre Dame has really been putting some pressure on him, and he actually decommitted from Maryland this past week. So I believe it's Florida's the other school that's trying to get him to commit as well. So, but it is looking good.
So Notre Dame could pick up a few commits.
There's talk that they could potentially pick up four or five.
Hold it.
So they did it last year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to say they pick up three.
I'm going to say two.
Okay, we'll see. And then another guy, this is actually for 2019, safety target, Brian Williams. He committed to Texas A&M, to Mike Elko. And he was actually, Notre Dame was in good shape until Elko went to Texas. And obviously he's going for the coaching, which might be a bad idea if
he's only there for a
if
year.
He's going for Elko. But he's class 2019. He's a 4-star. Some have him as a 24/7 composite as a 5-star safety. Wow. So this would have been huge, but it looks like Mike Elko pulled it off. Which, if he's only there for a year, that means that Brian Williams could still decommit, if you know, before signing day next year. So anyways, that's what's happening with recruiting. There's still offers going out left and right. There's 2020 offers going out as well. Tommy Reese is out there handing out offers. So a lot of things happen with recruiting, and there's a good chance they might pick up another commitment this week, you know, following junior day. But that's about, I think that's all I got for recruiting right now.
All right. There was a couple other news topics, Randall, just some NFL stuff.
Well, the one we should talk about for me, Kevin Stefferson.
Okay, let's talk about that first.
He
can't seem to stay out of trouble.
I don't know if he's trying to set a record, but he has now officially been arrested in 4 counties in Indiana. it came out that Friday night he was actually arrested again for a whole list of stuff, including marijuana, paraphernalia in the car. I'm not sure what all. There was a list of things. But he was still enrolled at Notre Dame. Okay, here's what. He's booked for possession of marijuana, hash oil, hash, visiting a common nuisance, and possession of paraphernalia. So he was in prison overnight, and then they released him Saturday morning. He was still enrolled at Notre Dame, but I don't see how he can still be enrolled at Notre Dame after this.
I know.
Especially after the Max Redfield was kicked out of school and wasn't allowed on campus for what he did. Stepherson was involved with that part.
Which I still, I feel like.
I think that was overkill.
That was overkill, yes. That was the word I was looking for. But I do agree with you. I'm surprised. I'll be surprised if he's still enrolled after all this.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. Obviously, getting kicked off the football team didn't do anything for him. And at this rate, he's going to end up in prison here before long. I mean, he's got to make some serious decisions. And I don't know what's going to wake him up if you're not even playing football in college anymore. Obviously, he just took that for granted. But
maybe he'll end up on that Netflix documentary from the JUCO.
Oh yeah,
what's it called? All I can think of is this season with, but that's from Showtime. Netflix. Oh man, I can't think of what it's called.
It's been a little while.
I didn't watch the second season. I watched the first season.
Yeah,
and it is really interesting. It's about I think we talked about it before, but just a junior college and somewhere in the South, and there's some familiar names on the team.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys out of like Florida State.
Last Chance U is what it's called.
I know it's surprising that Florida State would have players that get in trouble, but you do have that.
Well, we can't. We might have to get off of our high horse.
So, anyways, there you have it, Stepherson. I'm pretty sure he's definitely not coming back to the football team.
No.
Something good to kind of change. There are good players on the team as well. Kurt Heinisch was actually, Mike Elston was out recruiting, and his kids had a father-daughter dance that they were at, and Mike Elston has three daughters. And so, since Mike Elston was gone, Kurt Heinisch took his place. So he had tweeted, Beth Elston, Mike's wife, had tweeted out a picture of them. And then Mike Elston also tweeted something out that he asked Kurt Heinisch to step in. So very impressive that I think it speaks of the character of Kurt Heinisch. You know,
and the relationship between Elston and his defensive lineman.
Exactly. So that was good to see that can happen. And then another one, Sam Bush. I don't know, you might have heard his name before, but he's a walk-on lineman at Notre Dame. And I believe he's a senior. And this year, it didn't really make headlines, but he actually got out on the field against USC. And Notre Dame football tweeted out a video of him talking about that moment, and you got to watch it. It's basically a modern-day Rudy. I mean, he grew up in California. Everybody around him was USC fans, but he grew up rooting for Notre Dame. I mean, he even has the pictures when he was a kid with the Notre Dame jacket on amongst the USC fans. Anyways, he didn't get a scholarship from Notre Dame. Disappointed about that. Then later they called him up like, hey, we're going to give you a preferred walk-on position. And so he did come. He's like, he's not going to turn that down. And he's a practice player. I mean, he didn't expect to play. And then he talks about the blowout win against USC. Harry Hiestand came over to him and says, you better get ready. You're going in the next series. So he went in, and I think he only played for four plays, but it was, you know, he held his own. He did what he was supposed to. And he talks about what that meant to him, and it's basically your modern-day Rudy. So I had tweeted out the link. Go check it out. It might be like a 3-4 minute video.
Yeah, and it's from 2 days ago is when Indy Football tweeted it out. So
yeah,
it's from a few days ago.
So check that out. Next thing, Mike McGlinchey caused a little bit of controversy on social media. He tweeted out, he just said, In-N-Out is incredibly average. And of course, if you follow Notre Dame players or basically any sports put on social media, it seems like whenever they go out west, they got to go to In-N-Out and get burgers. And especially the West Coast guys, when they go home, that's the first thing they do is go get an In-N-Out burger. And this caused kind of an uproar, and there was, you know, even teammates were commenting on it and whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I eat an In-N-Out whenever I go to Phoenix, and we're planning to go and I'll be out there in like 2 weeks. And I'm sure my grandpa, one of the first stops we make, he's going to take us to In-N-Out. But I think he's right. It's good.
Listen, before Mike McGlinchey was able to say it, I didn't want to say anything. But I completely agree with him, too. It's not better than McDonald's.
Yes, it's better than McDonald's, but it's not. It's just, it's average. It's nothing. I can think of a lot of burger joints that are better than that.
Five Guys is much better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
And I it's a good company. And I'm not bashing them because it's awful. I just am trying to bring them down a notch from all the elevation that everyone, it just lifts them up.
Yeah.
Like it's the greatest fast food burger joint in the world.
I just thought it was kind of funny, the drama it caused. But I did find out, we're used to going to Steak and Shake, which they have good burgers, but they don't have those out west. So when guys come in here, they want to go to Steak and Shake. So.
And honestly, I would say Steak and Shake is better than In-N-Out.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So, anyways, some funny news of the week. Something else on campus. Sam Mustafer was the freak of the week last week. He had a video with where belt. He had the belt, and so it looks like, I don't know if the player that gets it will inform us every week, but so far they had the past couple. And then the St. Browns. EQ and his brothers and his dad, maybe they're
they
like
a, the they're like the low LeVar key, ball?
They're the low key ball,
ball family.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, on HBO, you can watch the St. Brown Master Plan, and I kind of watched the preview for it, and I'm gonna try to watch it just to see.
But I want to watch it too. Did this come up last minute? Because I'm surprised that the dad, when you were talking to him in the interview, that he didn't plug this upcoming documentary.
Well, in the interview I did with him, he quickly tried. I thought I was a little worried at the start that it was just going to be a plug for his protein, but then it was a good, great interview. And then at the Under Armour game, not the Under Armour game, the Army game, when Amon-Ra was ready to announce his commitment, he started talking about the protein. And they actually told him, like, hey, no, just stay on football until that time. So, obviously, their dad has gotten them to try to promote this stuff. But just watching the preview, it's a little amusing. They're working out. John Brown, their dad, is there, you know, pushing him. And he's doing some little grunts and carrying on. And he's like, yeah, that means this and this means that. So, it's pretty funny. But you get to see their home life. Their mom talks German to them at home. And
it does seem like
they are an interesting family,
and it does seem like a good family. Like
much more interesting than the Ball brothers, the Ball family.
You might be turned off by Amon-Ra, but they do have. I think their dad is a good dad and has set a good example. And I think I think they have a very good family.
I would watch this. I will not watch something about the Ball brothers.
Yes.
So, and then Durham Smythe played in the Senior Bowl and was named a captain for the game. And that was like right before the game, so obviously he stood out in practice. And then he actually made a touchdown catch. I think it was one of the first touchdowns scored. So I guess we can see what happens when they use the tight ends. When you got a quarterback, then throw it to the tight ends. But it sounded like his stock went up in the Senior Bowl, and he's definitely trending in the right direction. And then the other game was the Pro Bowl this weekend. Zach Martin, Harrison Smith, and Kyle Rudolph all played in the Pro Bowl. And Harrison Smith had a pick six. And I forget the exact reason why he got in, but originally he wasn't voted into the Pro Bowl. So I don't know if it was because of the Super Bowl, you know, who was playing Super Bowl, not playing, or injuries, what it was. But it's absolutely ridiculous because he is the number one safety in the NFL. He graded out as the number one safety.
And the highest paid, too, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously he should have been there because he returned a pick. So it was the longest interception return for a touchdown in the Pro Bowl. It was the second longest return. But yeah, good to see him getting some love that he deserves.
I'm not super high on Durham Smythe, but if Ben Koyak made it, say it remained on an NFL roster, then I definitely think Durham Smythe has a chance at it as well.
Yeah. I think he'll definitely make a team. He'll get an opportunity to play for someone. I think that's about all the random news I got. There's quite a list of just weird things going on around Notre Dame football, but there you have it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to talk Notre Dame football, check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. It's free to sign up, join the chatter over there, and hopefully we'll keep on having just some news and topics to discuss, until... And it usually ends up there almost always is something that happens every week. But definitely head over there, join the conversations. It'd be good to have you there.
And next week is signing day.
So, yeah, of course, we'll have that to talk about as well. So, until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.